Most compassionate and holy Father, how humbling it is for us to read in thy word that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. To know that in the heart of God there is this compassion, this concern for this world which thou hast created. Father, how can it be that we in our rebellion obstinately go our own way? In our stubbornness we want our own way, and thou dost come with this marvelous offer of salvation, and we will not respond to it. We don't want to respond to it. We like our sins too much. O Father, why wouldst thou have compassion on us? Why wouldst thou weep over a world that is so rebellious? Now, Father, we don't understand why thou didst not decide to save everyone in the world, and yet we stand amazed. Fact is, we stand amazed that thou hast decided to save even one of us. When we think of the enormous price, the shedding of Christ's blood, the pouring out of thy wrath upon him, so that it is the equivalent of an eternity in hell for the one who is saved, that such a penalty would be paid. Oh, Father, what love this is. And Father, we praise thee that it is the day of grace and that there is this possibility of salvation. Father, we're looking now at this fig tree and we see that it represents national Israel. And we pray that we may see in this that there is still opportunity for salvation for national Israel. We thank thee that we're going to see this as we continue our study. We praise thee for thy compassion upon that nation very particularly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our study of Mark 11, we've come to this remarkable account where Jesus is cursing a fig tree. In the historical context, we saw that he was hungry. As he saw this fig tree, he came seeking for fruit, and there was none because it wasn't the season for figs, and so he cursed it. And now we're beginning to develop the deeper spiritual meaning, the third dimension, the gospel aspect of this historical account. And we have seen first of all that the fig tree represents national Israel. National Israel at this time in its history is like a fig tree with leaves, but there is no fruit. They are a nation amongst the nations of the world. They look like they ought to bear a lot of fruit, but insofar as spiritual fruit is concerned, they are on the threshold of rejecting Christ altogether. The leaders are plotting his death, and he is going to be crucified. We only see a tiny remnant chosen by grace amongst national Israel who indeed are saved. But then we read that it was not the time for figs. And in order to begin to understand that, we went back to Isaiah 6, where we see Isaiah 700 years earlier speaking to the Lord about being ready to be a witness, a one going forth with the gospel. And so the Lord says, well, I'm going to send you, but as I send you, I'm going to send you to a people, and they will not understand, and they will not hear, because I have made their heart fat, and I've closed their eyes and their ears, and so on. In other words, God himself takes full responsibility for the fact that national Israel would never again respond to the gospel as a nation, except for the remnant chosen by grace. We're going to see presently that that always is the exception. And incidentally, when we look at these verses of Isaiah 6 and we wonder, well, is this in character with God, that he actually would blind people so they could not come to the gospel? We must remember, indeed, it is in character with God. Do you remember 2 Thessalonians 2? Perhaps you're a little bit familiar with this. And remember when it talks about the end of time, and there will be those who will not respond to the gospel. God says in verse, and he talks about the man of sin who is Satan coming with his lying signs and wonders, as so that with all deceivableness, of unrighteousness, for them that perish. And then God indicates why. Because, and this is verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God is firmly declaring that there is a dynamic about the gospel. We may think we can just reject the gospel with impunity. We'll reject it for a while, we'll reject it as long as we want, and then we will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't go that way. If we reject and reject and reject, then humanly speaking, from our vantage point, the time comes when God will further blind us, so there is no possibility that we will turn to Him. That's why we should be warned. Now is the acceptable day. Now is the day of salvation. How shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? Don't you think for a moment that if you constantly reject the gospel, reject God's command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be able to respond in your own sweet time. But right now, I'll just sin for a while, or I'll take on this new sinful activity, whatever it is, I want my own way, and I'll get straight with God later on. How do you know? How do you know? Maybe God is going to further blind you because you're apostate heart. This is what happens to unbelievers, and this is what happened to national Israel. Now, of course, there is the exception, those who are the remnant chosen by grace, and that's another subject, but God does not have those in view right in this particular passage. God has in view Israel as a people that stands responsible before God for their actions. And they're a picture in this sense of the whole human race that stands responsible to God for their actions. And when Israel constantly rejected God, God finally came to the point where He sends upon them a strong delusion so they will not believe the gospel. And so it is true with all the nations of the world. It goes this way. Well, then, in Isaiah 6, we saw that the question was raised in verse 11, how long will this condition remain where they will be blinded? And the Lord said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Now, when we read this, it sounds like judgment day right up until the end of time. Is this actually what God has in view? Well, as we look at the New Testament, we see that indeed He has this in view. When Jesus is commenting about the fact that the Israel of His day is not believing, he quotes from Isaiah 6 to explain this. In Matthew chapter 13, for example, he says in verse 13, he's speaking of national Israel in this context, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You see, Christ is explaining here that the condition that had been set forth in Isaiah 6 is the condition of national Israel of His day. And so now we can see why He says in verse 13 of Mark 11, it is not the time for figs. It is not the time for figs. Christ knew full well that Israel would not accept Him as the Messiah. When he came to this earth, he knew this. And actually, for God's own purposes, this is the way it had to be, because unless they rejected him, he could never be king over them. He could never be the king of his kingdom. You'll remember that in order to establish his kingship, he had to go to the cross. And in order to go to the cross, he had to be crucified. And God worked through national Israel to see that he was crucified. So this was all God's plan. But nevertheless, the condition still is indicated that there was not the time for figs was not. And so Jesus here is giving us a dramatic picture of the character of national Israel. He is saying that they are like a fig tree with leaves. There is no fruit. And the reason for this, it is not the time for figs. But now we come to verse 14, and verse 14 of Mark 11 is very ominous. It is a very terrible statement. In verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it, to the fig tree, "No one eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Wow. That's a big statement. Remember now, the fig tree represents national Israel. They do not have fruit at this time in their existence. And Christ effectively is saying, you're never going to bear fruit. In other words, Christ is through with national Israel as being a nation that is going to be somehow a great example of God's redemption or whatever. May you never bear fruit. Well, this was already anticipated in Luke. Well, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. Later on, we're going to look briefly at Luke 13. But this was anticipated in Isaiah 6. Remember, in verse 11 and 12, it said that until cities lie waste and the land is without inhabitant, this is how long they would not respond to the gospel. When we go on in the scriptures and we see the gospel as it's proclaimed after Christ went back to heaven, do we see a great turning from national Israel to the Lord Jesus Christ? No, we don't. No, we don't. We do see 3,000 who are saved at Pentecost, and many of them are Jews, but there are also proselytes and strangers that come from 18 different nations. But when we get to the last chapter of Acts, where Paul is preaching to some of the of national Israel, we read in Acts chapter 28, verse 23, in the last half of the verse, he was persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Notice, and Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, several decades after the time of the cross. "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing," and so on. We have the full quotation from Isaiah 6 again. So you see, there was not a turning of national Israel to Christ as their Messiah before the cross, nor after the cross. Fact is, in Romans 11, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is explaining what the condition of national Israel is. In Romans 11, in verse 5, he explains, "There is a remnant chosen by grace, Romans 11, verse 5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. That explains the trickle of believers that have come out of national Israel in the days of Jesus. The 11, the disciples, and Mary Magdalene, and Martha, and Lazarus, and so on. It explains the trickle of believers that believed, as we find it recorded in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, and so on. Aquila and Priscilla. No, I don't know whether they were Jews or not. I don't know whether they were Jews. It also explains the trickle of believers that have been believing right down to the very present day. But God further goes on in Romans 11. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, that is, the election chosen by grace, but the rest were blinded, even as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. That is the condition of national Israel. Now you might ask the question, well, wait a minute. Mark 11 it says, may you never bear fruit forever. Doesn't Romans 11, verse 25 and 26, indicate there will be a time when Israel will again bear fruit? And the answer is no. Romans 11, 25 and 26 are teaching exactly the same thing. Remember how Romans 11, 25 goes? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened upon Israel. And God has already explained this blindness, that this is the condition of the major part of Israel, while the remnant chosen by grace is saved. And then he says, how long this blindness will continue, in the last phrase of verse 25 of Romans 11, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There it is, you see. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That is, as long as there remains one Gentile in the world to be saved, this will be the condition with national Israel. While there is a remnant chosen by grace, the rest of them will remain hardened in their sins. And, of course, Jesus had declared in Matthew 24, this gospel must be preached as a testimony to every nation in all the world, and then the end would come. When the last Gentile is saved, then we've come right to the end of time. And so, God is again saying the same thing he said in Isaiah 6, the same thing he said in Mark 11 when he said of the fruit tree, may you never bear fruit again forever. He is saying that there never will come a time when national Israel as a nation will respond to Christ as Messiah. I'm very sorry to hear all of these gospel proclamations that I hear today that the time is going to come when Israel, the nation of Israel, is going to respond to Christ as Messiah. There are two things that are in error here, and they're grievous things. The first thing is that this is contrary to what God is flatly teaching in Romans 11, 25. And in Mark 11, that we've just looked at in Isaiah 6. Secondly, it is effectively declaring that God has two salvation programs. It is declaring that God has one salvation program for the nations of the world and some other special salvation program for the nation of Israel. And that is contrary to everything the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God is not a respecter of persons. The Bible teaches that Christ did come to Israel and provide salvation for them. When there are those who teach that he's still going to save national Israel, they effectively, without realizing it, are rejecting what God declares, what he has done for national Israel. Remember Acts 5, verse 31? where God declared to national Israel, Him, that is Christ, hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Christ came to Israel as their Savior, and indeed there were those that were saved, and to teach that He is still going to come as some kind of a Savior for national Israel sometime in the future when they, as a whole nation, will believe, is to repudiate what God has already done to national Israel. We read in Acts chapter 3, in verse 25 and 26, where God is declaring, Ye are, speaking of national Israel, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, first God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You see, this is why Christ came to Israel. He came as their Savior, and even though it was God's plan that only a remnant chosen by grace would be saved, nevertheless, He is the Savior of those who did believe on Him. And there is no future salvation program for national Israel. This is contrary to the plain language of these verses we've been reading. It is to believe that God has two separate salvation, two different salvation programs, and it is a repudiation of what the Bible declares concerning the salvation He has already provided for Israel. In verse 26 of Romans 11, it says, And so shall all Israel be saved. And as you may have heard me say on other occasions, there are many who read this word so, and they very neatly, without telling you when they did it, they substitute the word then. They make this word so a chronological word so that they are implying after the fullness of the Gentiles come in, then God will provide salvation for Israel. And the word so does not mean that then in, does not carry the meaning of then in any sense at all. The word so simply means in this manner or thus. It is a Greek word used more than 150 times in the New Testament, and never is it translated then. It simply means that in this manner all Israel shall be saved. That is, in the manner that God has already described it, that except for that while most of national Israel are blinded, there is a remnant chosen by grace that is being saved. And he explains why this is so in verse 26 of Romans 11. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And remember, we saw in Acts 3 and in Acts 5, that Christ came as their Messiah to take away their sins. He came as a fulfillment of His covenant with Abraham to provide redemption. And so there is not some future redemption. Oh, it is important that we understand this. Otherwise, we're going to have a completely distorted view of the doctrine of the last things. We're going to misunderstand altogether what God is teaching concerning the last things. Now, we can be grateful to God. We can praise God that Israel can still be saved. If you are a Jewish person, a blood descendant of Abraham, you can be saved. God faithfully is promising that right up until the end there will be a remnant chosen by grace. But we should not be at all surprised, and we should see what a tremendous fulfillment all of these statements are as it is seen in national Israel today. God has raised up national Israel. And again, they're a nation with leaves without any fruit. Exactly as God has declared, they would be a nation without any fruit right up until the end. And what do we see concerning them? They do not want to believe in Christ as Messiah. Israel as a nation is as adamant in their rejection of Christ as Messiah as they ever have been in all of their national history. And we're looking at them 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years after the cross. We might ask the question, of course, why then did God raise up national Israel today if they are not the ones that are, that if they are not to turn as a nation to Christ as Messiah? What purpose would this achieve? Is there anything in the Bible concerning this? And that's a very important question. And before we go on in our study of Mark 11, I would like to look at that very briefly. But for the moment, right now, we want to be very clear that in Mark 11, God is teaching us that we will never expect to see national Israel be a nation with fruit. That is, where a great number of them will respond to the gospel. They will never again bear fruit. That is what Christ is declaring. Now, in our next study, then, we will look at this question, what is the significance of national Israel today? And see how that ties in with the scriptures. We'll look at that briefly. And then go on in Mark 11 and get into this matter of the money changers in the temple. And see once what God is teaching spiritually in this. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.